today we are reading from 6th Canto, chapter 9, text 50. Swayam Nishreya Samvidvan Navakyagyaya Karmahi Narati Rogino Patyam Manchato api bishaktama Swayam nishreya samvitva Navaktya jaya karmahi Narati rogina patyam Manchato api bishaktama Swayam nishresya samvidvam Navakti ajaya karmahi Narati rogina patyam Vanchato api bisaktamaha. Matajis, ladies. Swayam Nishreya Samvidvan Navaktya Jaya Karmahi Narati Rugno Patyam Panchato Vibhishaktamaha Swayam Nishreya Samvidvan Karmahi Panchatopi Visaktamaha Swayam personally Nishreya Sam, the supreme goal of life, namely, the means of obtaining ecstatic love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. With one who is accomplishing devotional service. Na, not. Vakti, teaches. Agyaya, into a foolish person, not conversant with the ultimate goal of life. Karma, fruit of activities. He, indeed. Na, not. Rati, administer. Roginam, unto the patient. Apatyam, something unconsumable. Vanchataha, desiring. Api, although. Bishaktamaha, an experienced physician. Translation by His Divine Grace, S. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Jagadguru Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai. A pure devotee who is fully accomplished in the science of devotional service will never instruct a foolish person to engage in fruitive activities for material enjoyment, not to speak of helping him in such activities. Such devotee is like an experienced physician who never encouraged a patient to eat food injurious to his health, even if the patient desired it. Please repeat after me. A pure devotee who is fully accomplished in a science of devotional service will never instruct a foolish person to engage in fruitive activities for material enjoyment, not to speak of helping him in such activities. Such a devotee is like an experienced physician who never encourages a patient to eat food injurious to his health, even if the patient desires it. Purport. Here is the difference between the benediction awarded by the demigods and those awarded by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu. Devotees of the demigod ask for benediction simply for sense gratification, and therefore they have been described in the Bhagavad Gita as bereft of intelligence. 7:20. Kamasthaistarjana pradyanantanya devata tantaniyamamastaya prakritaniyatasvaya. Those whose minds are distorted by material desire surrender into the demigods and follow the particular rules and regulation of worship according to their own nature. Conditioned souls are generally bereft of intelligence because of profound desire for sense gratification. They do not know what benediction to ask. Therefore, non-devotees are advised in the Shastra to worship various demigods to achieve material benefits. For example, if one wants a beautiful wife, he is advised to worship Uma, our goddess Durga. If one wants to be cured of disease, he is advised to worship the sun god. All requests for benediction from the demigods, however, are due to material lust. The benediction will be finished at the end of the cosmic manifestation, along with those who bestow them. If one approaches Lord Vishnu for benediction, the Lord will give him a benediction that will help him return home back to Godhead. This is also confirmed by the Lord himself in the Bhagavad Gita 10:10. Tesam sadata yuktanam bradadam pritipurvakam dadami buddhi yogantam yenamam upayantite. Lord Krishna instructs a devotee who constantly engages in his service how to approach him at the end of his material body. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 4:9, Jamma karma cha medibhyam evam yo vetti tattvataha tyattadeya punajama naiti mameti so Arjuna. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activity does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attain my eternal abode, O Arjuna. This is the benediction of Lord Vishnu, Krishna. After giving up his body, a devotee returns home back to Godhead. Hari Bol. A devotee may foolishly ask for material benediction, but Lord Krishna does not give him such benedictions, despite the devotee prayers. Therefore, people who are very attached to material life do not generally become devotees of Krishna or Vishnu. Instead, they become devotees of demigods. Then the benediction of the demigods, however, are condemned in Bhagavad Gita. Antavattu palamtesam tadbhavati alpamedesam. Men of small intelligence worship the demigods and their fruits are limited and temporary. A non-Vaishnava, or one who is not engaged in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is considered a fool with a small quantity of brain substance. Hare Krishna. Om Ajnana Tiramanandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Nidannidatasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namo Vishnudaya Krishna Vrishtaya Bhutale Shri Madhijaya Pataka Swaminiti Namine Namo Vishnudaya Krishna Vrishtaya Bhutale Shri Madhibhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Pasatade Sattarine Pancha kalpa karubhyascha kripa sindubhyaiva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhatta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama So before I speak something on this sloka, I request all the Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis to bless me, that I may speak something which is appealing to your heart. So this is a very nice sloka. Lord Vishnu, Krishna is speaking to the demigods, and Srila Prabhupada is making very, very important point in this purport. But ultimately we have to understand one thing. Everybody is motivated by desire. Desire, desire, desire. This is the focus point of our life. We are doing action because we have desire. Because of this desire, we are performing so many activities. Like we feel hunger. We have a desire to eat, so we want to eat. Everybody has to eat. But then the Vaishnava eat prasadam. Krishna prasadam, something which is offered to the Lord. So, desire is very important for us. Srila Prabhupada explained that we cannot become desireless. It's not possible. We cannot free our mind to be completely in Brahman. We don't want anything. There's so many Brahmavadi, so many yogi, they perform austerity in Himalaya for thousands of years. Then Srila Prabhupada explained, they come down and they start to open some hospital, some school, do some beneficial work for everybody. So no one can be desireless. We can have desire. But the desire should be how to please Lord Krishna. There is a very nice sloka. We say, Akamo sarva kamuvam moksha dara udaradin. Trivena Bhatino Danam Radhade Purusham Param. It says that whether one is a person who has broader intelligence, whether it be full of material desire, without any material desire, or desiring liberation, must by all means worship the Supreme All, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, of course, some devotees say, oh, let me become free from everything, then I'll chant Hare Krishna. No, it doesn't work that way. By chanting Hare Krishna, we can modify our desire. Because we have been, since time immemorial, billions and trillions of lifetime, into different body. 8,400,000 different species of body. So we have developed strong attachment to enjoy sense gratification. So we have to condition ourselves, become free from this condition of sense gratification, which is quite hard, if you think. The yogi meditate for thousands of years, you know, the gyani study so many scriptures, trying to dwell into Brahman. But for the devotees, it's very simple. Why? It's very simple. Because they know the absolute truth. Number one, they know that they are eternal servant of Krishna. They know that we are belonging to Krishna, that our soul, we are not this body. Thank God we are not this body. This body is deteriorating, it's growing old, it's giving us pain, and the end will die. So because of this condition for many millions of lifetime. But devotees are very fortunate because they are in contact with the spiritual master, they are in contact with Krishna, they are in association with the devotee, they are living in a holy dham. This is very, very powerful system. This is very powerful scientific system. This morning I was listening to one conversation, Srila Prabhupada, where one person is telling, oh, by your religion, Srila Prabhupada, stop him right there. He said, no, we are not a religion. We are scientists. We are spiritual scientists. He said, this is science. It's not religion. It's not about believing something. You can believe I'm Christian, Hindu, you can change that. Tomorrow you, somebody can preach to you and make you something else. He says, it's not about believing. It's about the truth. It's about facts. 2 + 2 = 4. Whether you are in America, whether you are in China, whether you are in Japan, whether you are in India, whether you are black or white, doesn't matter. 2 + 2 = 4. And gold. Gold is pure. It's same gold. Everywhere is gold. It's appreciated as pure gold. You cannot say this is American gold, it's better than Indian gold. Of course, in India, sometimes they mix something with gold for cheating. That is there. But pure gold is gold. So, gold is same. Prabhupada gave the other example, the sunshine. Is this Indian sunshine? Or is this American sunshine? Or this is New York sunshine? No, sunshine is shining. It's giving its light on everybody. It doesn't belong to anybody. So, we have to understand the Supreme Truth. This is a science. And in fact, in this particular sloka, Lord Krishna or Lord Vishnu explained, a pure devotee is fully accomplished in the science of devotional service. It's talking about science, devotional service. This is a science of devotional service. Just like there is a system for everything. There is a system to do anything. You want to cook, you have to put a pot with the water on the fire, you have to light the fire, you put the sabji inside, it gets cooked. Yeah? Guess what? If you don't start the fire, nothing's gonna get cooked. Isn't it? Or if you don't put the water, maybe everything gets burnt. So there is a system for doing everything. There is a system for driving car. We have to go and learn how to drive a car. You drive motorcycle? No. You drive bicycle? Yes? Not bicycles. You should learn to drive bicycle. So you will learn to drive bicycle. Somebody will teach you. Okay. Your father will put you on the bicycle, hold your seat in the back, say, start to pedal it, and he accompany you for some time. Then sometime you learn, oh, look, I can go by myself. My father is not there. I can drive. So we have to learn. From everything we know, we are learning from somebody. And nobody's born and he knows everything. There may be some remembrance from previous life. Something is there. But we need to learn. So therefore, those who are fortunate to come in contact with devotional service, with they come in contact with devotees. And the devotees explain the process, the scientific process. There's no way you can do this way, that way. No, the acharya, they worked so hard. They wrote so many books. They give us so many advice, so many slogans. Everything is there. It's like we are walking with a hand to the expert guide. Okay, you come. One time I went to New York and I had somebody, you have to go to the embassy. And say, okay, you just take the underground level 5, then you change to level 3, and then you go to level 1, and you come to the station. Oh my God, okay, I wrote down everything. But when I went there, I couldn't figure it out. It's very complicated, different color, different system, different flow. I went and asked one lady, can you explain to me how do I go there? She was in the counter. She said, yeah, you go this, you go that. I couldn't figure it out. You know, and I said, sorry, can you tell me again? She had such a strong American accent, said, move away, there's a line of people. I had to work here. So finally I met one devotee, by the mercy of Lord Krishna. Otherwise I would be lost in New York underground. I'll still be there searching. So this devotee told me, yeah, where are you going? I said, I had to go to this place, I had to go and pick up the passport to Maharaj, you know. I said, no problem, come with me. You've been in New York? Yeah, I've been here so many years, don't worry. He said, I'm very confused. Ah, yeah, it's a little complicated, but once you live here, you can figure it out. So he took me one level, we bought a ticket, we went, then we come out, he took another level. So finally we reached the destination, and I went to the embassy to get a passport. It was very simple, but if you don't know, you can get lost. So that's the material world. Just to understand how to go from one place to another place. Just imagine. How we can go back to Godhead, you know, by speculation. The material scientists, they say, trust your senses. How can we trust our senses are imperfect? Prabhupada explained, like the frog in the well. There's a nice big frog, and there's another frog who's been into the ocean. So you come and tell information to the frog. My dear friend frog, you know there is a Pacific Ocean. And the frog say, how big it is? Two times my well? His well is only 6 feet. Three times my well? 10 times my well? You cannot understand how is the Pacific Ocean. Huge amount of water. So it's impossible for us, by speculation, to understand Krishna, to understand the spiritual world. Just to understand this material world, we need a teacher every time. Every life we take birth, we cry, we pass stool in our pants, and then we slap by mother and father, and then we go to school. You are in China, you are in America, different school, different language. Every time it's different language. And so we learn A, B, C, D, this, that. Just to figure out, just to live in this material world. 20 years we had to go to school, right? And what they teach us is also not the truth. But anyway, that's besides the point. So, just to live in this material world, we need so much instruction. Just imagine to go back to Godhead. It's impossible for any conditioned soul to go by himself, by the strength of his own intelligence. Alpa medesam, it says here. People that have no brain. And this Kali Yuga, people are less intelligent, they're always disturbed. So, who are those fortunate souls who come in contact with devotees, who take them by hand back home, back to God? Srila Prabhupada is taking all of us by hand, back home, back to the spiritual world. Now, the only thing we have to learn is how to desire to please Krishna. That is the switch. So far we have been engaged in sense gratification for millions and trillions of lifetime. So it's very deep ingrained in us. That can translate into subtle form also. As a devotee we think, oh, okay, now I'm free from material desire. I don't eat meat, fish, eggs, I follow regular principle, chanting things around. But still I deserve a position. I should be the in charge. I should be the manager. Or I should be the guru. I should be the superior. So this translates into so many subtle forms. There is a very nice book, it's called Vaishnavake, which is addressing the mind. What type of Vaishnava are you? You're living in association with the body, but still you carry this garbage in your mind. Like Srila Prabhupada is telling the story, there was a marriage party. So the bride is going in the night with all the family. They had to cross the river, huge river. So they are going in the night. They sit on the boat. The boatman say, don't worry, relax. I'll take you across all night and we'll row. And we will be there by morning time. So they all went to sleep nice, okay, no problem. The boatman knows what he's doing. So he's rowing all night, he's rowing all night, he's rowing all night. The sun rises. These people get up, we reach, and they look, wow, we're still in the same place where we started last night, what's wrong? And the boatman, he said, but I work very hard, he said, you fool, look, you didn't remove the anchor, how can we go anywhere? We're still in the same place, we didn't go anywhere. They should have thrown the guy in the Ganges, in the river, but they didn't do it, anyway. But that's the story. That's like us, you know. We come in contact with devotional service. We are chanting Hare Krishna. We follow the principle, everything. But the anchor is very difficult to remove. What is the anchor? The material attachment. We still think we're going to enjoy sometimes, somehow, somewhere. We are convinced. Enjoyment is there, waiting for me. But the material enjoyment is futile. We can see here, oh, so many materialistic people that become worshipping the demigods. Yes, Prabhupada explained, here in Bengal it's famous, there is Durga Puja, big Durga with a trident, beautiful form, beautiful puja, everybody worship Durga Devi. They want a beautiful wife, I guess. Maybe they get it, no problem. But it's a package deal, it comes with all, whatever it comes along. I don't want to mention anything, not offense to the ladies. But people worship Lord Shiva, you know. Who worship Lord Shiva? Some demon worship Lord Shiva. Who was that demon? He said, please give me a blessing that if I touch anybody's head, his head will break into million pieces. Lord Shiva is called Ashutosh. Very easily pleased, very easily anger also. He say, yeah, let it be so. He give a blessing to him. So this demon, what he did the first thing? He wants to try his power. Let's try to touch the head of Lord Shiva. How foolish he is. And Lord Shiva is running away all over the universe. He goes to Lord Krishna, please, Vishnu, please help me. Don't worry, I'll take care. So Vishnu come and say, what are you doing? Do you think that Shiva has such a great power? You don't know, Shiva is promising everybody something. You don't have to worry. It's not true. The power is not there. You want to really try? Touch your head and see. And the foolish person touches and sound. So his head went on 1,000 pieces. And it burst his own head. Or Hiranyakashipu, great demon, you worship Lord Brahma. He think he's very smart, no? He say, first, please make me immortal. And Brahma said, look, I cannot become immortal. I am not immortal myself. How can I give you something? It's like some, we go to the poor man, please give me $1,000,000. The guy say, I'm a beggar here, I make 5 rupees a day to live. How can I give you $1,000,000? So Brahma says, it's not possible. I cannot give you mortality. He say, okay then, give me a blessing. Give me a benediction. I will not die in the night, not in the day, not in the air, not in the sky, not by any weapon. He thinks he's very smart. I will become immortal somehow or another by the blessing of Brahma. Brahma say, Tadastu, take the blessing. And then what happened? The Lord come, appeared as not a demon, not a man, not a devadas. It's not this, it's not that, it's not in the night, it's not in the day, it doesn't kill him with the weapon. So, Krishna said, of all the cheater, I am the greatest cheater. So he can cheat me. So, Hiranyakashipu was killed. So no one, what benediction? Who is going to approach the demigods? 33 crores demigod. You approach one demigod, you give blessing, all the other 30 crores, minus one. They're going to be angry with you. Why this guy don't worship me? I'm going to show you something. I'll give you stomach pain. I'll give you a headache. I'll give you this. I'll give you that. You will not make any money. You make money, you'll become poor. You make money, your wife will get upset with you. Something. I don't know. It's impossible. And in fact, here says, Krishna, even though sometimes we do have material desire, but Krishna is so merciful, he doesn't give those material desire because he knows this is an obstacle to our devotional life. No doubt we have material desires, we need some. But if we understand, if we surrender to Krishna, Krishna will give us everything. Everything we need, Krishna will give us. We need a house, we need a wife, we need the kids, all these things, they're not material. If I engage in devotional service. So this is very important. Coming back to the point, the desire. How to purify our desire? The only process is chanting of the holy name of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, Lord Krishna also explained in Bhagavad Gita, there's a very nice slogan, Icha Dvesa Samutvena, Danda Moena Bharata, Sarva Bhutani Sammohan, Sagyanti Parantapam. O son of Bharata, O conqueror of foe, all living entities are born into delusion, overcome by the duality of desire and hate. It's a very nice purport. He said, the pure devotee, you are not deluded and contaminated by desire and hate, can understand the Lord Sri Krishna appear by his internal potency. But those who are deluded by dualian nation think that the Supreme Personal Godhead is created by material energy. This is their misfortune. Such deluded persons symptomatically dwell in duality of dishonor and honor, misery and happiness, woman and man, good and bad, pleasure and pain, etc., etc., thinking, this is my wife, this is my house, I am the master of this house, I am the husband of this wife. These are the duality of delusions. Those who are so deluded by dualities are completely foolish and therefore cannot understand the Supreme Personality of God. So, devotees are very expert in understanding that everything belongs to Krishna. The house, the wife, the children, the money, whatever we have, it belongs to Krishna. What happened? Krishna gave us a portion of this material energy to function for devotional service. Now, whether we have so much or whether we have a little bit, but we should be satisfied with whatever the Lord gives us. Because what happened? We can make a big plan. I want to become Rockefeller and then I will give so much money to the temple. Yes, right. But then on the process you get lost, you get in Maya, you become a demon again. So let us not try that. Let us say whatever we have, whatever the Lord gives me, let me engage that in His service with pure devotion, because everything belongs to Him. He said, naked we come, naked we go. We cannot take anything with us, can we? So we maybe have big bank balance. Who's going to enjoy that? If nobody claims, the bank will take it. Because some people don't tell even their relatives. Yeah? They say, no, no, these relatives, they're all chore, they're all thieves. They're going to steal my money. So I keep all the bank things inside the post office, nobody knows. All the checkbook, all the passbook. So the person one day, boom! Get a heart attack, it's gone. And his family, they don't know anything. And the money will be sitting there. And after a few years, your bank account become nothing. Because you don't claim your money, nobody claim, become disactive after 15 years, the money becomes property of the bank. Thank you very much, welcome. You guy works so hard. Even his own family cannot enjoy. So this is the crude reality of the material world. Let us not be foolish. Life is not too long. Life is the blinking of the eyes. My grandfather used to say, life is the opening of the window and you close it. It's very fast. And we realize as we become old, things are going very fast. I remember when I was very young, I was thinking, when will I grow up so I can drive a bicycle? Then I start to drive a bicycle. When I will become 14, I can drive a motorbike. And then I was thinking, when I'll become 18, I can drive a car. And then you become 20, 30, 40, after 40, you start thinking, what's going on? Everything's going so fast. Now it's 60, my God, you know. Already 1 year, already one Radha Yatra was last few days ago. Another Radha Yatra is coming, so 1 year is gone. So time is going very fast. So let us utilize our time, our energy, our intelligence, our desire to please Krishna. We can do this. We can be successful. And Krishna's promise in the end of this life, in the end of this very life, you can come back home, back to God. He says even devotees don't remember Krishna. Krishna remembered the devotees. Huh? Some devotees are distributing books, they have an accident, boom. They were just carrying the book, they didn't see the side, the car can't smash them, boom, they're gone. But they were engaged in devotional service and Krishna surely took them back. So we don't have to worry. Actually, Vaikuntha means the place where there is no anxiety. So we should not have any anxiety thinking, oh my God, how can I live? How can I pay my bill? How can I do this? How can I do that? Don't worry. Just chant Hare Krishna. Be practical. Be satisfied. Whatever Krishna give you, engage that in devotional service. Krishna will give you everything. This is a fact. This is my personal realization. when I was for 10 years brahmachari, then I got married. When I got married, I told my wife, well, if you're able to live with me on the bank of the Ganges under the tree, then you will come to marry me because I don't have anything. She said, no problem, Krishna will give us everything. She was very smart and intelligent. And now I have a nice house, I have everything. I didn't go to work in a factory. I didn't make any plan to make millions of dollars. Somehow, Krishna's giving. So we don't have to worry. Devotee should be always thinking, how can I please Krishna? How can I please the Vaishnavas? How can I remain in association with the Vaishnava? Whatever position they put me is fine. They tell me, okay, today you clean the floor. Fine, I clean the floor. It's devotional service. Today you are in the kitchen cutting sabji. Tomorrow you give class. The after tomorrow you do this. Whatever we do, we doing this for our own sense gratification? No. We're doing this to please Krishna. And if devotees are pleased with us, that is a symptom that Krishna is pleased. So therefore we must avoid Vaishnava Aparad. This Vaishnava Aparad is very, very dangerous. We can become very critical. Oh, why is doing this? Why is having this? Why that? Why that? Why this? Why that? And then we become offensive. We have to be very, very careful. We should understand Krishna is controlling all the devotees. So if the devotee is doing something, let it be. If the devotee is doing something wrong, then you go to the authority and inform them. Prabhuji, I don't understand. I see this. Maybe my senses are imperfect. I'm not perceiving properly. Please look into this. This devotee is doing this. Yeah. I give the example many times in Ramanuja Acharya. His cousin brother was called Govinda. And many times he was doing something wrong. He was exceptional Vaishnavas. One time they found him outside the prostitute house. He was sitting outside the prostitute house, so the devotee walked aside. What this guy is doing there? Is he going to the prostitute? So Ramanujacharya called him and said, What are you doing? Why are you sitting outside the prostitute house? He said, prostitute house? I don't know. They were reciting some beautiful Ramayana and I was so attracted. I couldn't stop but sitting there and listen. Somebody, Srila Prabhupada said that, you know, if we see a devotee entering into the liquor shop, we should not think, oh, this guy is going to buy a bottle and drink. Maybe he's gone there to preach. He's distributing some books. Yeah? So our senses are so imperfect and they are completely, you know, colored with our modes of material nature. Whatever we think, we perceive, and we are conditioned, even though the body are free from conditioning, but sometimes that little conditioning remains, so we don't perceive things properly. So let us be very careful not to offend any Vaishnava and Vaishnavis, because these are devotees who are very, very dear to the Lord, and these are the devotees who can take us by hand back home, back to God. So with this, I would like to conclude here. This time is over, and if you have any question or any comment, I'll be pleased to hear. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Srila Prabhupada ki! Any question? Yes, Prabhupada.
Thank you, Ganga Prabhu. You mentioned on a class that the chanting of the holy name is modifying our desires. But we see that even after a long time, the desires doesn't get modified. So can you maybe a little explain why is it happening?
See, very important, this is a scientific process. Desire, how the desire is transferring to us, by eating, by our external senses. We observe things. You remember there's a past times that Ajamil, he saw the prostitute in the forest, he became contaminated. Or by eating, Bhishma, he became contaminated because he was eating in the Kauravas. So whatever we eat must be offered to Lord Krishna. Because one of the easy ways that we become contaminated by eating something which is not offered to the Lord. The person who cooks, his mentality comes into our consciousness. So we must be very, very careful what we take. And also, we must be careful, you know, to associate all the time with the holy names and hearing Krishna Katha. So, how much are we engaged in 24 hours in hearing Krishna Katha and training our senses to be favorably disposed to Krishna service? So there are activity which will bring us close to Krishna. So all this material desire by the chanting of the holy name eventually will be completely extinguished. And we will develop desire to please the Vaishnavas, to please Krishna. As I say in the beginning, we cannot be desireless, but we can transform those desires for pleasing the devotees. So it takes some time. It's not that today I'm chanting and tomorrow I will be completely free from material desire. For some people it takes very fast, some people it takes a little longer time. But you must be rest assured that success is within your grasp if you continually chant 16 rounds, if we continually follow the four regulative principle, if we continuously associate with the body, we take a vow to take only Krishna Prasadam. Nothing cooked by outsider, offered to your deity, offered to Radha Madhava. So in that way, you know, we can become free or transform all our material desire into spiritual desire. Srila Prabhupada explained, just like iron, you put in contact with the fire. If you put it, leave it there for long enough, that iron piece takes the same quality of the fire. And anything you touch with the iron, it will act as a fire, it will burn. So as long as we are attached to hearing Krishna Katha and associating with the body and serving the Vaishnavas and doing performing devotional service, we are like that iron who become spiritualized. It's a question of how much. We can do 5 hours a day, or we can do 6 hours a day, or we can do 24 hours a day. It's up to us. No one can force us. Yeah? It's our personal choice every day. Some devotees say, in this field of activity, of course, he used a funny example. He said, you have to kill a tiger every day. In other words, we don't kill tigers. We are in Bengal. We love the tigers, and they're extinct. But basically, we have to perform devotional service every day. We cannot live, oh, you know, 10 years ago I did some service. You know, 5 years ago I did some very important service. No. Every day we are chanting Hare Krishna. Every day we are performing devotional service. And this is what is keeping us above the modes of material nature on the transcendent platform. So we want to do this every day, as much as possible, especially in this Purushottama Mass. This is very auspicious. This Purushottama Mass will automatically multiply unlimitedly whatever devotional activity we do for the pleasure of Lord Krishna. Does this answer your question? Thank you. Yes, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. Prabhupada said many times in his lectures, like just like when he switch off the fan will still be rotating.
For some time.
That means switching off the material desires, but the desire will still be coming. So then it happens that like when you start chanting in the beginning, it's just like you know, when a car, if you're living in a house, so the car goes, but there's a lot of dust generated by the car. So the little bit of dust, a little speck of dust will come into the room, it will settle. So for billions of lifetimes, those things come. And then when we start chanting first time, then, you know, it's like giving the, just not even mopping, just taking the mop and just trying to do that. So all the dust will start swirling very fast. So all these desires will come. So we should not be worried about these things. Because this will all, yeah, ultimately, it will all be wiped out.
Totally. The trick of the science is that there are three different stages of chanting. There's offensive stage, there's not offensive, and there is pure stage. So when we chant the only name in a pure platform, we develop love for Krishna. So that's what we are aiming for. But somebody say, oh, let me develop love, then I chant Hare Krishna. No, it doesn't work in that way. We have to chant Hare Krishna, go through this stage. We are offensive stage, then normal stage, and then we start to develop attachment for the chanting on the only name. Ask yourself, we wake up in the morning, what we want to do first? We don't want to turn on the radio and watch television, some film. We want to chant Hare Krishna. If we want to do that, we are in a good platform. And then we want to hear properly. We want to avoid the 10 offenses. So, this is a process. we have to do it ourselves by our own choice. Krishna consciousness means you are choosing to be Krishna conscious. No one is forcing us. We have sons, daughter, yes? We wish the best for them. We take them to the temple. We do everything. We do the sanskaras. But at one point, our son, our daughter, they have to decide, I want to be Krishna consciousness. I want to live in Mayapur. I want to serve the Vaishnava. From that moment on, I know, the path to spiritual life is open. We are trying to guide everybody. But who will take it? Who will not take it? That's up to them. Thank you. Any other question or comment? Mataji from the side? Any comment, any question? Yes, Mataji, want to say something? Yes, you can say. Tell me. Can you give the microphone, Mataji? Whoever wants to go can go, because I don't know, this class is supposed to finish at 8:45.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you very much for your wonderful class. I'd like to ask some questions. Sometimes I'm confused. There are a lot of activities for the devotional service. Which one is the most beneficial for me?
Which are?
Which are more beneficial for me?
Which are more beneficial?
For my stage.
See, the beneficial activity for everyone is this, that we should actually serve the Vaishnavas. Because by serving the Vaishnavas and the Vaishnavis, then Krishna becomes very pleased. Lord Shiva was asked by his wife, I see you are chanting. People worship you, but you are chanting Japa. What are you chanting? He said, well, what is the highest form of worship? He said, worship of Vishnu is the highest form. But worshiping those devotees who are serving Vishnu, that is even higher. So we live in association with devotees. Our mentality should be, how can I serve you? So that is very beneficial for us if we develop that mentality. Everything else will be accomplished. And chanting out the holy name, taking prasadam, you are always doing that. So keep on doing that. Okay, I think it's time off. We go. Prasadam is waiting for you. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai. Gaura Premanande.